Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. I am Spencer Hall, editorial director of SB Nation and founder of Every Day Should Be Saturday. Joining me, as always, from the agricultural expanse of Kennesaw, Georgia, that would be Jason Kirk, our college football editor. Hi, Jason.
Yeah, by that we mean the neighbors cutting grass. I don't actually live on a farm, which would be appropriate this week. Because, hoo boy, the teams we have in store for y'all could fill a greenery with just husky, manly football.
All kinds of limbs to be lost in the chores that these teams perform on a week-to-week basis, merely in the act of survival. Speaking of survival, someone has home internet now. Yay! Brian Nanny.
I'm fancy.
You're so fancy. And joining us from... It's still Brooklyn. It's still, I know you moved, but you're still Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, right?
It's always Brooklyn, yeah.
It's always Brooklyn. It's always by Brooklyn. Code, you live in Brooklyn.
I have a farm-related question.
Okay.
So when you think of a farm, you probably... You have some, I think, assumptions or some connotations that go with it. You probably think of blue-collar folk, salt of the earth, getting dirty... There are also probably some negative associations with farmers that are probably not fair about their intelligence or worldliness or what have you. A vineyard is a farm, but vineyard motherfuckers get off scot-free. If you tell somebody you're a farmer, they have a certain picture of you. But if you say you own a vineyard, oh my God, you are just the fanciest motherfucker in town.
Is this where we can we artisanalize? Can we recommodify various farms by specialty project?
I think
and
so.
Product, right? Because it's a taco. No. I'm sorry. These tortillas were handmade.
This is a taqueria.
This is not a taco. This is an open source tortilla delivery system.
Yeah, this is not a firearm. It's actually like a Lego kit that you use to disrupt people's internal organs, right?
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, who would look at something like that? What an atrocious and abhorrent way of looking at anything, right? Fortunately, no one would actually write that or publish it. Anyway, so how can we recommodify the farm? How can we, like it's not a pig farm has no glamour to it, right?
No.
Right? I think that is a
Bacon DreamWorks.
Too cute.
Then I just feel like it. I mean, then you're just like pissed off at it because it's making that face at you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The pigs are making that smirk at you, and you're like, "Fuck that pig! I'm not eating that pig."
Yeah. What if I called it a swine field?
Okay. That sounds a little too much like swine flu.
Maybe okay. You call it like craft meat, like instead of a craft brewery, like a craft meatery.
Yes. By the way, your opinions gaining more weight with the sound of actual agriculture going on behind you.
Yeah, I have a certain degree of authority here. If I say call it a pig farm, you guys are gonna be like, that's not bad.
Yeah. Or can we get
pork mongery?
Pork.
Wow.
Go Arkansas.
I'm going to go ahead. I have the best name for updating the cow farm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call it a beef hollow.
Ooh, that's good. That has kind of like a Lord of the Rings connotation to it, to feel to it as well.
I know, man. Just like you have to walk into Beef Hollow carrying a staff and muttering strange things in Elvish.
One does not simply walk into Beef Hollow.
You're wearing like robes with suspenders on them, like you have a staff and a banjo.
Yeah, that's so. That would be a beef hollow, and I think I'm out of artisanal. But you get the point.
Yeah.
If I had to rename Nebraska, they're the corn. I think Nebraska was ahead of the curve on this because Cornhusker is a really glorified term for like corn farmer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, they did a pretty good job with it. Yeah.
Like, they had the, like, $5 labels on a $1 bottle of brand well before anyone else, right? Like, these artisanally harvested linemen taken from the heartland, placed in Nebraska, placed in a system that functioned much as it has since 1918. The option,
this
hearty
is
alignment.
Our country.
We're saying Nebraska was pre-gentrified.
I'm saying that Nebraska were the original gentrifiers. They were ahead of the curve on all of this.
Yep.
And that if you could bottle Nebraska football and sell it for like $18 to people who moved to Austin like 7 years ago.
That's exactly,
I'm
going to
test that theory.
Like Nebraska in a bottle. Have they ever tried that before? Like put really potent Nebraska stuff in a bottle and maybe give it to football players?
No, I have no idea. We are subtweeting so many people tonight. This is amazing. This got weird and I approve. Yeah, no, they've never done that. Why would you say a thing like that? They were the best football team any of us ever saw, and we'll just dismiss any and all steroid rumors
just
about
raw beef fed strength.
Yeah. So out there in the Beef Hollow in Lincoln, it hasn't been that way. Not lately. You're looking at a 6-17 rolling into this year, into 2016.
Man, this is the state. America doesn't appreciate its farmers.
That's true. That's true. And this is just one example of how they don't appreciate their farmers. For instance, they don't appreciate their farmers by taking a nice man like Bo Pelini and letting him get hired away by
Young. I'm sorry. You did call Bo Pelini a nice man.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, Shutdown Fullcast makes no guarantee that anything we say is factually accurate. Please continue.
Remember.
The man cranked out 9-win crops year in, year out.
That's true. It was a steady rotation. And like any good crop rotation, you can't just win all the time. You got to let some of them go fallow.
That is. About 4 games a year, you get the Dust Bowl.
Yep.
That's how that works.
Yep.
9-4, September. It's always September 4th.
I hope we're really pissing off some the farmers that listen to us by just totally misunderstanding how farming works.
Yeah, you want some fun facts about Nebraska?
Yeah,
just a couple.
Yeah,
okay. Let's see. They're losing 4 starting offensive linemen.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. They're depending on having a quarterback, which. When was the last time that happened?
It's been a spell. It's been Crouch spell.
He is a 17th-year senior, though.
Tommy Armstrong, he's been there since 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Was a teammate of Scott Frost.
Neil Armstrong's brother.
Yeah. He is Neil Armstrong's brother. He's held up so well.
He's been there so long that I heard Nebraska's recruiting Tommy Armstrong the third.
Wow.
Traditionally a Purdue family, but, you know, everyone's got a black sheep. Huh.
We don't want to talk about Purdue on the Nebraska episode.
sore subject.
Oh, wow.
There's a trap.
Keep it moving.
There's a trap door to hell. Let's just walk right by it.
Abort.
Yeah. And also just continuing to note the inability of Nebraska to sort of build a consistent defense of any sort. And thank goodness they hired a guy from the Pac-12. Because
that'll solve that, yeah.
That'll solve that. So when you look at the schedule this year, I want to say something nice about you, Nebraska. So why don't we not look at your schedule?
Oh, that's the solution. Okay, cool.
So we're blind record.
Well, all right. Now look at this. All right, they went 6-7 last year.
Yeah.
Right.
A slightly deceptive 6-7.
What makes you say that?
They were probably about the same 9-ish win quality by Big Ten West standards.
That was our
weekly shitting on the Big Ten West. By our, I mean mine.
I thought you meant that they were going to be the first answer, the first trivia answer to name a 6-7 team that won its bowl game.
Yeah, you actually won your bowl game. To get one win closer to 500. No, we're thinking positively, right?
Yeah, that's
true. You actually got you're one under.
Mm-hmm.
One under.
Joining the elite club of Minnesota and San Jose State because 5-7 bowl teams went 3-0 last year.
Yeah, that's the key. And
let me tell you what, this is the one where when we predict the record here, oh man, there are so many ways that we could go bust on the river here.
We're going to. This is going to be like the saddest Price is Right game.
Yeah, because there's no way. Like, there are several games here where I'm like, I have no data.
Yeah.
I have no ability to even guess what's going to happen. For instance, September 3rd at Fresno State. I mean, they should win that.
Sure.
Should. Wyoming. They should definitely win that. Oh, look, you're 2-0. Okay, and Oregon comes to town. You know what? I don't know what the hell is going to happen besides Oregon winning. Okay, you're 2-1. Then you get into the Big Ten. And honestly, I want you to look at the Big Ten schedule here and tell me how many games you know they're going to lose. I mean that. Lose.
At Ohio State.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one.
That's it.
That's it. Now the rest of them. Now the rest of them. I want to play this game with Nebraska's schedule.
How many
look
are
at their
they
schedule.
Going to win?
How many are they definitely going to win?
Because this is where where we would normally say Purdue, but we can't say that Nebraska.
You get Illinois at home. You get the team of which we will not speak. That's it.
I feel like Illinois is everybody's homecoming opponent this year.
Yeah, Illinois is bringing corsages everywhere they go.
They just pass him around. He's just the cheap, like, last minute cruise for everybody. Like, I don't know, I have a plan for vacation.
Illinois
Lovey Smith is like a really good singer, and they want him at, you know, homecoming gatherings.
Illinois, your handsome cousin, who doesn't think it's weird to go to prom with you?
No, it's not weird at all, man. It's cool. I'll be your date. I love dancing. We'll dance together. It won't be weird.
It won't be weird.
Illinois is out here just like crashing on folks' couches.
It's like, yeah, man.
We don't have a home. Can we go to yours?
Hey, just happy to keep my per diem. You know, just day by day.
I'm gonna get a gig. It'll work.
You'll see. They're all coin flips. I don't have anything else to say.
So based on that, I'm gonna call for them to make a bowl game and show improvement by finishing at 7-6.
See, I think they're going to go 6-7, but with the bowl game loss, and people won't know whether that's improvement or a step back.
Sure, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's it. We're going to move to the next team, but just know this: the theme for Nebraska 2016 is we don't know.
Anything can happen. Except a Big Ten title berth, but other than that.
Nine wins.
Yeah.
In my heart and in my mind, I do have Nebraska doing around 9, but 6-7 the hard way. That's a lot more entertaining.
What? Speaking of transitions, how would you gentrify the horse farm?
Ooh,
that is the original.
That's the original
hybrid vehicle.
That's the equestrial plane.
The equestrian. I was gonna call it the like Mercado del Caballo,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that works too, because our transition to a new and entirely different kind of Bronco. Hey,
seamless, you asshole.
Shameless. That would be UVA. Yeah, we're not gonna talk for UVA that long. No one should.
No.
Not a thing.
Another Oregon fan, another Oregon opponent, rather, though.
Oregon plays 13 teams in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yep.
All the same 2 days.
It's a tough schedule, but it is a way to build your resume early, and I respect that.
Yep. They're innovators, you know. And when you got Nike, they'll just let you do that. They're like, whoop, sorry, it's Monday. Nope, calling it. Today is Saturday.
I like the build your resume implication of an Oregon-Virginia game, as if any positive resume lines will come from that.
I mean, they've done it before.
Both sides are just doing it for the experience.
Maybe Mark Helfrich doesn't know how to decline a Google Calendar invite, and that's how Oregon gets all these games scheduled.
What was the last time you saw a UVA grad win on anything but a resume?
Ooh, wow.
Just letting that out there. It's a really good school. Yeah, I've heard of so many of you.
Tiki Barber, he didn't mean it.
No. I did, Tiki. Come for my ass. I dare you. I'm not an intern on your TV show. What do you want to do with me?
Jesus.
Mean night.
But before UVA plays Oregon, they get Richmond. I don't know why I brought that up. I just thought people should know that Richmond. Richmond is
yes, just so good.
Which calls to mind the only good game day sign from all of last year, which was at JMU. It was two girls holding up a sign that said, Richmond pooped, I think it was. Richmond farted, Richmond pooped. I don't remember what it was, but it was one of those two. And that's all I have to say about Virginia. Cool. 5-7.
Just phoning that in. You know what?
I didn't look at the schedule past Duke because it's the ACC Coastal. It's either 7-5 or 5-7, and they're 5-7.
That 5-7? Yeah, 7-5 or 5-7. You know what? I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna put Bronco up. Bronco's gonna get the benefit of the doubt and attain what is considered success at UVA. I'm just gonna call it 7-5. By the way, I can predict how many quarters of UVA football Jason and I will watch this year, because like Ryan won't watch any of those.
Oh, I will watch. I will watch that UConn game. Don't you dare, you son of a bitch.
That's correct. So
for any of these on Thursday, none of these are on Thursday. That takes it down.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, shit. I might go to 5-7 because Thursdays belong to UVA.
Also, that Oregon game is at 10:30 East Coast time. Yeah, people aren't watching that.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and just say this. They're gonna go. I'll stick with 7-5, and that Ryan will watch three quarters of UVA football, and I will watch a combined two this year.
I might not see any. I don't see how any right thinking person would see any Virginia football this year.
I mean, the only
all
way
these
that
games are on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
Will definitely be a better game being played at the same time.
Yeah, I would say the three of us combined won't watch 10 minutes of Virginia football all year.
That should be – Virginia's thing should just be like, yeah, we don't play on Saturdays anymore. We're Wednesday night. That's all we do. Come find
that
us.
That is the classy night, because Saturdays are for
– And that way you can pull the television – you know, where a TV network will be like, America's most watched action comedy on Tuesdays is Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck looks terrible, by the way. But UVA can do that. They can own Wednesday night. They can be America's most watched Wednesday night ACC team.
So it's like Virginia makes a run through the Mountain West every Friday night.
It's better than that MacGyver reboot looks like. So
remember how you've been trouble. You've had trouble getting to sleep mm-hmm. on Thursdays because you're so excited for Fridays. Do you want to be reminded to go to bed? Well. Fear no more.
I've been waiting all day for Thursday night.
Time and Friday night. Bed. Friday night is Mac Brown's night. We got Ooh. Mac Brown calling Virginia games.
Ooh, that's
that'll knock folks out.
That's true. Yeah. Hey everybody, just a reminder that going to bed early is extremely important. You could, and by the way, with your bed, they say to flip the bed. And then to get a new bed every 5 years.
I'd like to see Virginia open the offense up like a breathe right strip.
You got to think about what that bed's done for you. And all the good rest it's given you. You might want to just hang on to it.
Ooh,
I didn't like what BYU did to Bronco Mendenhall. And I especially didn't like what Bronco Mendenhall did to me at Texas.
This secondary is snug as a duvet cover.
Boy, he really didn't like what Bronco Mendenhall did to him at Texas.
Hey, we're talking about Virginia, but y'all remember that time BYU put that Texas?
Man, we really can't go an entire episode without talking shit about Texas. Can you
imagine some sequence of events that ended up with Virginia playing Texas in a bowl game and Mac Brown having to call it, just getting like serious PTSD shakes? Like, So
wait, Texas not making a bowl game. Move on.
We got him at 9-3.
That's you. I expressly disclaimed that opinion.
Spreadsheet doesn't say so.
Yeah, you know what? The most Texas thing I can do would be to secede from that opinion. Let's talk about Clemson.
or to kill it without a proper trial. Exactly what we're about to do.
These drugs are smuggled. Hey, Clemson, congratulations on making the national championship last year and playing Alabama down to the wire. For some reason, we put you behind Nebraska and UVA in this preview. God, we're assholes. Tremendous assholes.
Clemson does continue our agricultural theme, though.
Sure,
so,
sure. It's
important to mention that. A prolific agricultural school and... As I check once a year at least on the South Carolina Clemson rivalry Wikipedia page to make sure it still has a section headlined Agitation from the Farmers, which was apparently a critical turning point in state history when farmers got involved in that rivalry. That section's been there for at least 5 years now, and I hope it never goes away.
It's also my favorite Jewel song from the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's very soulful. Yeah,
it's important to have one of those. I didn't know that she had them at all. The question that I want to ask, because this is the team that everybody knows, you lost a ton of people in the secondary, okay, including Mackenzie Alexander. You're pretty much going to be you're going to be kind of a mess there for a bit, to be honest. Like, just prepare. Can I tell you how you might want to just line up for that, and what might result from playing the first month of your season, getting your secondary together? One, you play at Auburn. Oh, you want an offense that might be throwing you the ball a little bit.
Generous.
You want to get that secondary? Get them some hands work.
Yeah, get them some hands work. Jeremy Johnson throwing the ball. You might get some added confidence at you real fast.
Distributing fishes and loaves, my man. That's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then you get like two gimmies, Troy and South Carolina State, and then you get Georgia Tech, because, you know, that's a passing team. And then you really don't get anybody who even attempts to do that until Louisville. And then after that, it's a fall off all the way back to October 29th. So,
buddy, they got to play Boston College.
You have two or three teams in the first like 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks of the season that won't throw the ball more than eight times a game.
I mean, and keep it going. Like after NC State, then Florida State. Okay, they'll be able to pass. Syracuse is going to pass like what?
Yeah.
Then you finish with Pitt, who their entire game plan is just. It just sounds like the word Pitt. Then you got Wake in South Carolina. So you play, what, three teams?
Oh, shit,
throw?
You got to play Will Muschamp offense? You fucked!
So, yeah, the two very, I mean, I guess in a playoff sense, the two big concerns, but in an ACC sense, minor concerns for Clemson are, you know, they lost two very good defensive linemen and at least two very good players in the secondary, but who's going to take advantage of that other than maybe Louisville, maybe FSU?
Yeah, you have very little to do that. And then you have somebody who can mask your defensive inadequacies on the other side of the ball in Deshaun Watson, because he's going to score. They're going to score. They are going to score a lot.
I mean, like, what is the worst case Clemson's going to do this year? Give up 45 points? Okay, Deshaun Watson's going to score 80 points. Like, he gets back his entire offense. He's a year older. They say the third year is when you'd make your actual leap in development. And he gets back his best receiver. Clemson played its entire season last year without its actual best receiver. That offense is scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get Mike Williams. You get Artavis Scott. You get Deion Kane.
You know what?
Oh.
You know what? Watch that Boston College game be a weird slugfest anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Watch it sure. Be some like, oh, man. 15-2. Good win, Clemson.
No matter who you are, BC is going to drag you in the deep water.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. The only they're going to go 10-2 at worst, and here's why. They got Deshaun Watson, and they have a guy named Ray McLeod.
Yeah.
I am not betting against any team blessed and armed with something as fearsome as a Ray McLeod. Oh, yeah, and Deshaun Watson, he threw for 4,000 yards last year, threw for 35.
That's a lot.
He ran for over 1,000.
That's a lot.
And 12 TDs. Yeah, my God. Played the best offensive game I've seen a single player play, like, maybe since Mike Vick against Florida State, like, against a really, really fine Alabama team and keeping them in the game single-handedly. Yeah, he's awesome. If he doesn't get injured, like, 10-2 is as bad as they're going to do.
Do they have to run the table to get back to the playoff?
No.
Okay.
I think they could... It depends on that. It depends on what that one is. I almost think if you lose one, you just fuck up an easy one. Right?
If you lose one, then you're playing politics and you're hoping for chaos and all that. But you're not out by any means. I mean, one spot goes to the SEC.
Right.
You know, the Big Ten with Ohio State losing so much, I don't know if that's a guaranteed spot there. You know, if the Big Ten as a two loss champion or something like that. You know, and then of course, Pac-12 champ will have like eight losses. So. Yeah, I mean, I could see a one loss Clemson in there, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to, I will call this. I don't think they lose to a soul on the schedule. So, undefeated rolling back in.
That's okay. I at am a little FSU. Less confident in that, yeah. At FSU stands out. At Georgia Tech on a Thursday is still weird and dumb, even though they don't have a big game before it.
I'll say 11-1.
It helps that Florida State and Georgia Tech are the only, I mean, I guess Auburn, but no, we don't care about you, Auburn. Are like the road schedule is not so bad. Not so bad.
So you're saying 11-1. I got 12-0.
I will side with Jason. 11-1.
All right, 11-1 it is.
Just because it's hard to go undefeated in consecutive seasons.
Yeah, unless you're Michigan, that's like who we have going undefeated.
Well, that's
easy. Harbaugh's, listen, man, Harbaugh's got a kid on the way. He's got to make some money.
So we've just put Clemson in the playoff, I believe.
Yep, fine with that. We probably have
shit.
Like
did they bump? Did they just bump Stanford?
I think so.
Fuck, man. Yeah. Well, you guys got to tell me this. I'm trying to be the best Stanford fan I can be.
Actually, on our board right now, we have four Pac-12 North teams at 9-3. We'll say Stanford beat them all and has the tiebreaker.
Good. Thank you.
Uh huh. Right. Yeah. Math is not a feature of this podcast.
Don't worry about that.
I know somebody out there is going to, at the end of this, look at our numbers and say, well, that shit's fucking impossible, and here's why. And I want you to know right now, I don't care. I don't care at all.
Let's see. We got Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to transition that.
Woo! A Clemson opponent last year.
Yes.
Yes. And a team which, again, like every single Bob Stoops team ever, is either going to make the playoff or go 10-2. There.
The first month of this schedule. No, stop it. The first month of this schedule is brutal.
It's hot. It is so hot.
Brutal.
I mean, you got ULM.
Yeah.
You got Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
And three top 10 teams.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Oklahoma goes in. Man, they go teeth first this year. Houston to open. Whew.
No pressure.
Exactly.
Better not lose. Like, if you win, you get like, oh, cool, you beat a mid-major. You know what I mean? Like, there's no like, wow, man, you beat the American Conference champion. Like, who cares? Who cares? Yeah. But if you lose, oh, boy, did you lose.
Yeah,
like, Houston's good, but it's not going to read like Houston's good.
If Houston beats Oklahoma, Tom Herman might get the Texas job the next day.
Tom Herman might get the Oklahoma job.
Bidding war.
You're looking at the dude down the street getting out of the pool. You're like, oh, he goes to the gym. Oh man, everyone's looking at him. No. You're looking at the next thing. Then
Houston's up by like 25, and in the middle of the fourth quarter, cameras are trying to find Bob Stoops.
No, they're trying
there's
to find.
Boosters in cowboy hats waving Tom Herman over.
Man, Mike Stoops is the one that really needs to worry about that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Because you know what? Old Bob's got a chair. You know who gave Mike a chair? Bob. You know whose chair that still is? Bob's. You're just sitting in it, Mike.
You know who ain't irreplaceable? Other Stoops brothers.
Exactly. There are supplemental Stoopses, and then there's Bob.
Mike, you're just a backup Stoops.
Yeah, you're mid game. You're not big game, Bob. You're mid game, Mike. Then they get Ohio State. They do get Ohio State in a rebuilding year, and they get them in Oklahoma. So that should be that's not a loss. And then they get a weird one on October 1st. They get at TCU to start the month of October before they get to Texas. And it seems to me that, like, somewhere in there has to be a stumble because they get Ohio State and they get a bye week. Then they get at TCU, which ain't easy. And then they play Texas, where anything can happen. Like Texas winning last year, for instance.
Yeah, like that being like a total coin flip of a rivalry where the, you know, where the pregame rankings and what Vegas thinks are completely irrelevant. And, but yeah, in the first five games of your season, you have, okay, the biggest mid-major game of the entire year.
Yep.
You know, if Houston wins that game, then we're talking about like, might have a non-power in the playoff. So like, lots and lots of stakes there. You have Ohio State. That's the biggest out-of-conference game of the entire year anywhere. At TCU, that might be the Big 12 championship in week five. And then you have the Texas, you know, the mayhem game against Texas. So by week five, Oklahoma could be number one. Bob Stoops could be kidnapped. Who knows?
That also, yeah. What I like about that Oklahoma game, the Texas game rather, is that that could definitely be a, like, Charlie Strong has to win this. Because if they've already lost to Notre Dame and maybe Cal on the road and maybe Oklahoma State, that could be bad. So you
yeah,
might.
So then we're talking about, like, a 1-3 Texas and a 4-0 Oklahoma.
What could go wrong?
By the way, we managed to go this whole time without talking about a quarterback who had 36 TDs, which is 7 interceptions.
All right.
Threw for 3,700 yards last year. Baker Mayfield was incredible. So that offense should be great. I think they need two new starters on the offensive line, but other than that, they're just chugging along. And let's see. Oh, man. You know who they have at running back?
Yeah, well, they got Samaje Perine. No big deal. Just the all-time record holder for yards in a game. Happened against Kansas, but it was still NCAA sanctioned.
That still counts.
You believe it or not, still legal if you do it against Kansas.
And his backup is the guy nobody really wants to acknowledge or talk about. But
that's Joe Mixon.
I mean, several courts in the state of Oklahoma want to talk about him, but
yeah. I think actually they don't.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. They don't seem to. They're unfamiliar with that. They didn't see a thing, officer.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So yeah, we won't talk about Joe Mixon. Because
yep.
You know, hey, let's just. The Big 12 hasn't had any scandals this year.
Everything's correct? Fine. Everything's
fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
All is well.
Yeah, so looking at this, I would just say that you probably have – this is probably like where I could see you losing one in that three-game stretch in like September, October. You lose one of those. And then from there on out, like only that trip to West Virginia sort of has any kind of trouble. I would say that, and they need to replace a cornerback. So, 10-2. I'll call 10-2.
I'll throw Bedlam in the who knows category.
Always, yeah.
So,
always. Actually, not. Actually, not always. Like if you.
Yeah,
look,
never.
Like,
pretty much.
No, yeah.
Like I always say that, like, it's Bedlam, anything can happen. Not really.
That's a game that's really branded itself well. Like, right. Oh, you gotta watch Bedlam. No, you don't. Look at the record. You don't need to watch Bedlam.
I think Little Caesars should embrace that. Like, you'll never know what's on the menu. Yeah, it's just pizza. Yeah.
The Bedlam box.
Yep, just pizza. Who knows what madness lies in the heart of Little Caesars?
Carbohydrates. Just
cheese. Just square pizza. Cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's insanity.
I'm gonna go 11-1. I think you drop at TCU, and otherwise at Texas Tech. That's gonna get ugly. That's gonna get wild and hairy. But otherwise, I think it sets up nice. You get Ohio State early. Gosh, you better beat Houston. Everything else looks pretty good here. Ooh, Lord, you better beat Houston. So I'm putting Oklahoma in the playoff as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, I'm gonna put them at 10-2.
Yeah, I think 2 sounds right. The Tennessee game was stupidly close last year. There were a bunch of these. They barely beat TCU. They mostly squeaked by Baylor. I don't know. I feel like there's probably a little bit of reversal coming this year. A little bit of reversal.
I would also say this, that when you apply pressure to the general whole of this Oklahoma team thus far in this model, with these coordinators and these players and the way that they're recruiting, the place they break is on defense, and they break down in the secondary. And the Big 12 is exactly the kind of place that where you've got maybe four teams.
And Houston and Ohio State are not the two teams to play early on if that's your thing, right?
Yeah, because you're playing teams that like to spread the ball and make the safeties move one way or the other, and suddenly, yeah, there's somebody behind them. Yeah, especially plus, if you're breaking in a new corner or two.
Plus Monroe.
Yeah, and
also
the noble,
and Monroe.
The normal Warhawk. The
okay.
noble Warhawk.
Oklahoma 3-8.
There,
wow. Wow. You burnt.
I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. But 10-2 is, I believe, our final answer.
Okay.
Okay. And this moves on to our kicker, finishing out the program. We saved the most Iowa for the last.
You said kicker. the most important position on the field for this particular team.
In case you thought we were going to punt on the end of this.
All right. Let me just start by saying this. If you go and you look at the number of prospects produced by a single state, compiles for every state in the entire union. You get a couple at the bottom, and one of them's Iowa. Iowa doesn't produce many. So, if you wonder why they pay Kirk Ferentz $23 million a year, I think is his current salary, and they occasionally let him put members of the family on the payroll. It's because under Kirk Ferentz, they have not just outpunched their weight. There's some more extreme way of saying this. They have
Outpunted their weight, I believe.
I like that. I like that.
El equipo más irrespetado!
They have definitely outpunted their weight. Period.
Los Reyes de Mexico!
Oh, wait. I think that's the herald of America's finest rivalry game.
I Vamos. Believe what Ryan is saying is that we should look at the schedule. The game against Iowa State is on September 10th.
Yeah, that would be September 10th, Iowa State. This is the game that Ryan and I won't speak for Jason, but Ryan and I care most about and on Rivalry Week. It's not even on Rivalry Week. That's what a rivalry it is. It's played in the second week of the season.
You can't let it boil. It'll boil over.
No, it's fresh, man. You don't want
to
let that.
You got to get right to it.
You don't want to let that ferment. It becomes a liquor too strong even for the immortal drinkers of the Midwest to handle, okay?
You don't want to let, like, you know, either of these teams, like, figure out offensive identities or anything like that. No.
You want it
right out of training camp. Let's get to it.
It's like the Kentucky Derby. Just put the three-year-olds out there. Watch them run. Iowa State.
It's like
second
if
week.
The trash monster from Star Wars fought a different trash monster from Star Wars.
It's so good.
And the only way, the only, and the only goal is for the rest of us to get the fuck out of the garbage compactor.
Just like as if Kirk Ferentz in the role of Luke Skywalker is like, shut it off, shut it off. and the rest of us are like, we're gonna watch this.
What a wonderful smell you've discovered, Iowa.
So
it's called Ames.
In the history of this rivalry, how many times has the losing team scored 0 points?
Oh boy. Hold on. I'm looking.
10, 11, 12, 13.
It's a lot.
Looks like only 13 times out of 63 meetings. So I guess it's probably
yeah,
not
there,
that bad.
There's a lot of
twos and threes and sixes.
There's a five in here.
There's a two to nothing.
Two to nothings. That's a great one. 6-3, 12-10, 10-7.
17-5. I believe that's a Young Jeezy song.
A lot of these scores are shitty Holden poker hands.
Yeah.
15-13.
Shit.
These are blackjack quizzes.
I got 10-3 off suit. I fold.
That or this. The other thing in this game that is absolutely a delight is how mad Iowa fans, not really Iowa State fans, they know what's up.
I think they're just kind of always mad, like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like if the Hulk couldn't change.
Like if the like Little Red Hulk.
Yeah, this is that's how this happens. This is, by the way, a team that how'd they do last year? Just I don't want to short everybody.
Last year Iowa won
Rose Bowl appearance.
Rose Bowl appearance.
I mean, Iowa beat Iowa State. That's what we were talking about.
Oh yeah,
right?
You're right. The most important. Yeah, that's yeah. The Rose Bowl of Iowa.
And then after that, the undefeated Iowa Hawkeyes triumph by making an appearance at the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the traditional El Asico post game celebration is always in Pasadena.
I will say, well, I don't. This is not anything against Michigan State. I am a little sad that Iowa did not win the Big Ten championship game, just to see the playoff committee be like, well, fuck. We kind of fucking have to, don't we? God damn it.
We felt that Houston's body of work was most impressive and exhibited great game control. However, Iowa, we were unable to obtain any of their game film. They are in the Rose Bowl.
Jim Delaney just writing the sternest handwritten letter.
In terms of coach rewarding, we thought Iowa outperformed most of its competitors. And on
Iowa
that metric,
and Michigan State will be playing Stanford in the Rose Bowl.
Coach Willingham was particularly impressed by Iowa's willingness to hold on to a coach for so long.
Yeah. By the way, what was
incredible investment in human resources?
Like that's the one thing I, because look, we know it, taking Michigan State out of the playoff doesn't change a goddamn thing. So why not just put
maybe Alabama's a little more winded if it has to chase down more punts.
Sure.
Instead of just sacking Connor Cook, I don't know.
So that's the one result I would have liked to change from last year. Iowa, Big Ten champion, playoff participant.
Yeah, I would also state this. My favorite thing, what was the score at halftime of the Rose Bowl that a triumphant Iowa team made?
No.
A 12-1 Iowa team made.
It was 28-0 or 35-0?
It was, yes, 35 biscuit. That's what it was.
Criteria, you mad woman.
Can you imagine how mad Iowa fans were seeing, like, a white dude do all that to them? Like,
you have betrayed. Against so many Iowa values. They were like, wealthy private school. Damn it. With a white running back who's uninjured.
With a sarcastic marching band. And they got Tim White at halfback.
The part that burnt them the hardest, not losing 35-0, but having the Stanford marching band make vicious, sort of clumsy fun of them. That was it. Like, basically, they were like, you're hicks, and Iowa people were like, argh!
Stanford came out and said, our campus is called The Farm. Here's a tribute to The Farm. Here's a cow. Iowa fans saw a cow and got mad.
So they got mad for, like, art, like anything we put on Facebook, there were like 30 rabid Iowa fans under it, just infuriated. Like, how can you put this blasphemy on my timeline?
Here's a little media inside baseball for you listeners, for the 17 of you who've made it this far, all of you Iowa State fans. The college football playoff, which is New Year's Eve night, which was a stupid, horrible decision made by old men who never leave their homes. That was very bad for everyone in sports media. That night was just a total disaster of a tank for everyone, including us. You know, we were working very hard, and people aren't really online. So the whole time we just kept telling ourselves, hey, tomorrow Stanford's band is going to piss off Iowa. That's going to make everything okay. All the numbers are going to come back as soon as that happens. We were counting on it. We literally planned our entire New Year's Day around Stanford band coming, and it did. Oh my gosh, it was even better than we hoped for.
I would like to point out, in the Lowry's Beef Bowl before the Rose Bowl, Iowa ate 108 more pounds of prime rib than Stanford did.
The real winners.
Who's laughing now? Fancy boys.
Is that why Iowa lost? They just couldn't turn down food and... Then they're out there all
sabotaged by the thing I love most.
Beat comed. Yeah, that's called a tragic figure. That's what that is. It's called a Greek tragedy.
Shakespeare in dinner form.
More like a Greece tragedy.